You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Thank you for joining us here today. I'm your host for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano. We greet you guys and gals and kids on this Monday. Thanks for joining us here today on this Monday. You're tuning in now to God's Frequency. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. Thanks for joining us here today, whether or not you've tuned in at 6:30 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning on WMIE, 5:30 in the afternoon for the rebroadcast. I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Monday to join me. We're in the book of Hebrews. We are in chapter 7. I've entitled this sermon, Some Things Never Change. Because Hebrews chapter 7, it says, by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. That's where our launching point for today. Two immutable things. That is, things that are set in stone. Well, all of the word of God is set in stone. Immutable things. Things that cannot change. That's where we're going to get started here today. We're in Hebrews chapter 7. We'll be back here Tuesday and Wednesday with the sermon from this past Sunday, from yesterday, and that was looking at Philip the Evangelist. We're up to the end of chapter 8 in our verse-by-verse study in the book of Acts. Here, this is from our verse-by-verse study last year in the book of Hebrews. Let's pick it up there now. Some things never change. Some things never change. Sometimes we laugh at that phrase. Some things never change, because it always seems to be the flaws that remain the same, isn't it? But the good news I want to share with you today is that the awesome things of God truly never change. They are what the Bible calls immutable, meaning, thank God, they don't change. God said this to the Old Testament prophet Malachi. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, now catch the therefore there. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So why did he say that? Because 1,000 years earlier, God put his hand down on a Bible, raised up his other one, and he swore an oath to Abraham, saying, if you can count all of the sand here on this beach, or the stars up in the sky, so shall your descendants be. That's why God said what he said to him. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, because God made a promise to Abraham, and by crook or by crook, that promise is going to be fulfilled. Because the word of God is immutable. God's oath is immutable. So I want to start this sermon here today considering this word immutable. The Greek word is ametathetos, means unchangeable. It means it cannot be transposed like music can or transferred. It is fixed. It is unalterable. Is this word immutable? It's the word thetos, Greek word for stand. The word meta is the Greek word for change. And an A in front of it means, sorry, Charlie, this is unchangeable. The word of God. What are the two immutable things? Number one, the word of God is immutable. Number two, God's oath. It's immutable. Think about it. The immutability, if that's a word, it is now. I just made it one. Immutability of the word of God. It's unchangeable. It's unalterable. The logos of God is the creative force in the universe. As God said, either in the word or an oath, he said, let there be light. Immutable, right? Who can thwart that? Who can change that? Or this one. That God said this to the devil. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, he said, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you," write this down. He says, "You will eat dust all the days of your life." So guess where the devil's going to lunch today after church? He's going to Uncle Elmer's Dirt Barbecue over here on Courtney. Try that for a snack, devil. That's what you're having for lunch. And guess what? That's what you're having tomorrow for lunch, too. And the next day, and the day after that, you're eating at Uncle Elmer's Dirt Barbecue. Because that is your lunch now, forever and ever. Where they're serving dirt on the half shell. Some fillet of dirt for a second course. And lastly, a slice of dirt pie at the Pie Palace. Dirt pie. Because of the immutability of the Word of God. Dirt pie. You see, and you people shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Satan's eating dirt pie now. You see, and that's the truth. That's why Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, because the devil is under your feet. He's eating dirt pie. He's eating it today, and he's eating it tomorrow. And he's eating it until he's thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. He does not want you to know that little secret. That's all. All his power is to deceive you into thinking he's someone that he's not. Now listen to this one. This can be classified as either the word or an oath. God speaking to one of the bad kings in Israel, Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 29. Or maybe we could just say he's speaking to the earth and not even speaking to a person. Listen to this one. He gives it three times, one of those few times in the Bible. He repeats something three times. He says, "Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Write this man down as childless, a man who will not prosper in his days. For none of his descendants will prosper sitting on the throne of David and ruling anymore in Jerusalem." You just take that to the bank. Down goes the hand, up goes the other. Again, he spoke that to one of the sinning kings of Israel back in the day. And that verse is why you'll find a different genealogy in the book of Luke than you'll find in the book of Matthew. Because of the oath. Because God cursed the family line of Jeconiah, the king. And not only that, he took the Jehovah out of Jeconiah's name, and he changed the name of Jeconiah to Coniah. He took the J-E, he took the Jehovah part of his name out of his name. That's why you'll see different genealogies in Luke than you do in Matthew. Because the Lord has made an oath that no son has the rightful authority to sit on the throne. That's why the Holy Spirit traces Jesus' genealogy through Mary as well. Because that family line was not cursed like this. But you could take it to the bank. God said it. Take it to the bank. That's an oath. Now, speaking of oaths, we read here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11, God says, "So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest." So God's made an oath that due to a person's unbelief, they will never find rest. Not now and not ever. He's sworn. Down goes the hand, up goes the other hand. That due to unbelief, if you refuse to believe me at my word, you will never find rest, ever. Due to unbelief. Take it to the bank. It's just like a slice of dirt pie is this one. Rest comes when your soul is right with God. And only when your soul is right with God. Get right with God and you'll find rest. Here's another immutable promise regarding end times. Revelation 14:9. He said, if anyone worships the Antichrist and his image and receives a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, he himself will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out undiluted. Boy, talk about a strong Mickey. Undiluted? Not even a little water or a little quinine in there or something? Is poured out, some translations say full strength, poured out undiluted into the cup of his indignation. He will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Whoever worships the beast and his icon, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So, that's a pretty good threat or a promise, right? Don't do that. No repentance from that. And the flip side, Romans 8:38, Paul said, for I am persuaded, better translation is, I'm convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The threats, their warnings not to do that. Don't take the mark of the beast. Don't be deceived and follow the Antichrist. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. It's just a warning. Don't do that. Don't be deceived. Receive the Lord Jesus today while it's still today. That's all you. It's still today for you today. It's all you got. If you're watching here on YouTube today, all you need to do is call on the name of the Lord. It's so simple. That's why Paul said, I'm worried for you guys because of the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Simple as that. The word of God is immutable. God's oaths are immutable. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, because God himself has declared it. This is my beloved son, he says. Listen to him. Now let's move on here to chapter 7 this morning in the book of Hebrews. Actually, we'll pick it up in 6:19. Here we go, 6:19. He says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence, notice the capital P there, enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 1, next chapter. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of El Elyon, or translated Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. All right, now let's go back to the source. Keep your finger there. We're going back there in a minute. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 14, and let's read this account that he's telling us about. Genesis chapter 14, and we'll pick it up in verse 14. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house, and he went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces among them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. All right, now Lot was not Abraham's brother. Lot was his nephew. And this text here, by the way, is the proof text that the Catholics use who believe Mary had no other children and that the Lord Jesus had no siblings right here from this text. This Greek word adelphos can be translated brother or cousin, or in this case, it really should read nephew. But the text here calls Lot his brother, and we know from chapter 12 that Lot was the son of Abraham's brother. So, verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, everyone with me? We're in Genesis 14, 18. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of El Elyon. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of El Elyon, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be El Elyon, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." And that's it. That's all we know, at least from this book, on this guy, Melchizedek. But what a totally supernatural, cryptic dude, isn't he? This Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now, Salem really is the root word for the famous word, well, that as well, but Salem is shalom, which is, right, peace, peace, I live with you. Peace, the standard greeting in Israel, peace. Meaning, so Melchizedek means king of peace. Now, personally, I would apply that name to the Prince of Peace, if you ask me, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Peace. But this author here is calling this man as well the King of Peace. Question: are we witnessing an appearance, or what they call a Christophany, that is, an appearance of the Son of God before he was born? So, Melchizedek, the King of Peace. And again, how could any man possibly have that title? The King of Peace. And this King of Peace blesses the blesser, Abraham. Look at what else the book of Hebrews tells us. Let's go back to Hebrews now. Back to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being translated, that is his name, a king of righteousness. Imagine that title on a man, the King of Righteousness. And then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. So he's not talking about the city. He's talking about what the word means, peace. Holy Spirit's just told you that. His name means he's the King of Peace. Verse 3. Now here's more info on this guy. Look in this verse 3 here. It says, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor an end of life. Now, that's not in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit wants you to know this extra stuff regarding this guy. That's nowhere in the Old Testament. So, he's the King of Peace. He has no father, so much for a Christophany, right? Jesus has a father, right? Has no mother. Has no genealogy. Sorry, Gospel of Luke. Sorry, Gospel of Matthew. He's got a genealogy in both of those gospels. So that rules out Jesus right there. No father and no genealogy. Has no beginning and he has no end. Good gosh, who is this man? Then the verse continues. He says, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So this phrase, made like, means he modeled after or shaped like. And really, and it's literally, it's the word for facsimile. Facsimile of the Son of God. So here's what all this means, at least what we can understand. The writer is saying this, if you take home anything here, we can't understand all these mysteries. This you can understand. The writer is saying that Jesus is better. In this case, better than Melchizedek, who was not from the tribe of Levi like the Old Testament priests were. Okay? He's better. That's what the author's trying to say. He's better than Melchizedek. He's a better priest than someone that's got no beginning, no mother, no father, no beginning, no end, no genealogy. The author's saying Jesus is even better than him. Now, all the commentaries I've read on this men, they all poo-poo this. They all tell us, don't believe what the text says. Even John MacArthur, he says, Melchizedek has a father, and he has a mother, and he has a genealogy. So let me get this right. The Bible says he has no father, he has no mother, has no genealogy. But John MacArthur says he has a father, he has a mother, and he has a genealogy. They say he was just a local king of Salem whom God held in high regard. Church, don't even believe that commentary for a moment. Don't deny the supernatural. Now, I love what King David wrote in Psalm 110. He said, "The Lord said to my Lord," this is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord will send the rod of his strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth." Verse 4, "The Lord has sworn." All right, there's the oath. "The Lord has sworn and will not relent." There's the immutable. Relent, King James says he will not repent. Repent it. We know what the word repent means, right? Means to change your not, you change your mind. Metanoia, change your mind. So the Lord has sworn he will not change his mind. This is an oath. Then he says this, "You," speaking to his son, "you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." So there's another oath for us. The Lord has sworn he will not change his mind that Jesus Christ is the high priest forever, along the same lines as Melchizedek was, and that is in endless life. That's what he's talking about, in endless life. Jesus is like Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the foreshadowing of Christ in that he lives an endless life. He always lives to make intercession for us. He'll never die again. But Melchizedek didn't die for your sins or shed his blood like our high priest has. Our high priest also died for our sins. Let me read this verse to you. Hebrews 9:12. Let me read this verse. Hebrews 9:12. It says, "But Christ, having come as a high priest of the good things to come, by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." The difference is our high priest presented his own blood to God the Father in heaven. Book, chapter, and verse, Hebrews 9:12. That's what makes him better than Melchizedek. Well, lots of things make him better than Melchizedek, but Melchizedek didn't die for your sins. Only Jesus did. Now let's pick it up here in verse 11. "Therefore, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, then what further need was there that another priest would rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also..." All right, now here it comes. Pay careful attention to what he's going to say next now. "For the priesthood being changed, of necessity, there is also a change in the law." There is a change in the law now. As the priesthood changes, there is a change in the law now. That's why the Apostle Paul says, Romans 6:14, he says, we are no longer what? Right, we're no longer under the law, but under grace. Now, as your high priest changes, there's no longer have to elect a new one or appoint a new one. He no longer has to offer up offerings for his own sin. Now there's a new high priest in town, and his name is Jesus. And he's sinless. And he always lives to make intercession for us. But as the high priest changes, there's a change in covenants, and there's a change in the law. That's what he says here, the change in the law. Next week, when we get to chapter 8, we'll see more about that. We're going to read where Almighty God now has amnesia with our sins. That's what we'll get to next week as we get to chapter 8. Okay, now we got a little bit of reading to do. Let's pick it up. Let's pick it up here in verse 13. Read all the way through to the end of the chapter. For he of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no man has ever officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Verse 20, and inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they become priests with an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Man, this guy is smart, isn't he? This was the hardest book for me as a Bible translator to translate. I mean, all of this is like one sentence long. It's not even a semicolon in this, in the original language. It's very difficult. This guy was just brilliant, whoever this writer was. All right, the end again of verse 21. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety, or better yet, guarantee, is what that word means. Jesus has become a guarantee, or again, down payment, guarantee, surety, of a better covenant. Verse 23, and there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable, or we could say immutable, priesthood. So here's another immutable thing. Jesus is forever your intercessor and high priest because he continues forever. That's what this author is trying to convey to us here. Therefore, that is, since he continues forever, he is able to save to the uttermost, praise God, every last one of us. That's good news. Save to the uttermost. He's not going to miss any. He's able to save to the uttermost, even me. That's some good news today. No one's going to go by the wayside. He's not going to miss anyone. He's able to save to the uttermost. Now, those are my words. His words is, he's able to save to the uttermost all those that come to God through him.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.